real quick. 2 Peter chapter 2. And this is the first of a two-part message on the final step in the Christian's life that they need to add to their life. 2 Peter chapter 1. Read along silently as I read aloud. Chapter 1, verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, toward the end of your Bible. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You will see that as a reoccurring theme throughout the Bible, that it is not our righteousness, it is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that obtains forgiveness. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You can find out about genes, you can find out about planets, you can find out about molecules and atoms, but that doesn't get you anywhere as far as eternity is concerned. The real source of truth, the real thing that will change your life is knowing God and knowing Jesus, His Son. Verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. We call it being like Christ, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, I mean, that's great enough. The fact that I was changed from being a child of the devil and a child of this world and a child of wrath, I have been made a child of God. I have been able to participate. I have been able to partake of the divine nature, the perfect nature of Jesus Christ. Verse 5, well, beside this, having experienced all that, giving all diligence, we need to add to our faith virtue. Then Peter begins to say there are some more things to add to our life that are add-ons from just being saved, being born again. Verse 5 says again, add to your faith virtue, and then add to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, you don't want to just sample them. If you want to grow, if you want to mature, these things need to abound. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing worse than having a religion and going away the same as you came. Every day, every Sunday you come, people go through a religious spinning door. They come to church and go out the same. You want to be different? You get these seven things added to your life. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, this is what you need to do, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Not a lot of scripture there, but what we're looking at is a series of steps that a person takes in their Christian walk. We're talking about walking with God. That's why Jesus, or Peter, uses the term steps. He actually says, our memory verse is, that we should follow His steps. Now, Christ has all of these characteristics. You and I don't. Just test yourself on Tuesday morning and see how many of these things are alive and well in your life. But Jesus Christ had every one of these things to their fullness. So we're following in His steps. Now, Jesus said in John 15:8, if you're a believer, He says, this is how you glorify God the Father, when you bear much fruit. When your life, as you add these things, when your life has results, when your life has purpose, when your life actually has an effect, both on you and on the world around you, you are bearing fruit. And that's when you are Christ's disciples. Let me finish this thought here for a second, if I can come back. Faith is our foundation. Let me see. We're going to talk about charity now. 1 Corinthians. Let me see. I'm not sure if I'm in the right sequence here, but go to 1 Corinthians now, chapter 16 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in verse 14. This is one of the most amazing truths that you will that you'll ever learn from the Bible. Charity. 1 Corinthians 16 and 14. Let all your things be done with what? Let everything you do be done with charity. Go back to chapter 13 now. Verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now, charity. We've come a long way over the last many weeks since we started this back in January. We started to go through each one of these concepts, and we've looked at each one of them. And as we talked about the first step every person must take is the step of faith, not works. Not love. Most everybody wants to try to love their neighbor, love their enemy, love their husband, love their kids. And you can't. Not until you've been born again. Not like you should. Now, I know you can love in a basic and in a good way. Many times we can love things and love people, but our love runs out. Our love grows thin. You say, I don't believe you. Check the divorce rate and you tell me if I'm not right. Our love does grow thin and needs help many times. So you're going to have to go back and find something else that is the source of love, and that's your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So you're going to have to start with faith in Christ. Philippian jailer falls into the cell where Paul and Silas have been singing in the prison cell, and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? How do I get changed?" And what is it that Paul cries out? It doesn't say get baptized. It doesn't say get join the church. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. So it begins with faith. It begins with trusting completely Jesus, the only one who ever loved you unconditionally. You start with faith. Then we went on to virtue. That defines what we allow ourselves to do. Virtue versus vice. I know what is right to do and what I'm not going to do. And so I start to draw a box around where I'm going to live. And I stay in that box. That is virtue. Knowledge gives me the answers to what used to scare me and defeat me. People live in torment of their mind. Jesus said, when you know the truth makes you free. You need to know some things. Add some knowledge. Don't just come to church and expect to get a good feeling. You come to church to learn, amen? Because that makes you free. So you learn. You read your Bible. You're not going to get always a good feeling from reading your Bible. You're going to get cleansed. But you're going to get taught. That book is written for you to think through. Come now, let us reason together, God says. Next step, he says temperance. That's a good old word. Temperance is who's in control of my life. And me, when I add temperance to my life, I am adding the Holy Spirit's control of my life. I'm turning control over to Him. I'm asking Him on a daily basis, an hourly basis, however it is, to direct my life, to control my life, to lead my life, and help me follow. Temperance. Patience. It's hard to stay following the Holy Spirit, isn't it? So you ask for patience now to stay on course. You say, I just don't see anything happening in my life. If you stay following the Lord Jesus, something will. That Bible's full of promises and God cannot lie. Amen? So you're going to have to get to the place where you just wait on the Lord. Will you just do right and God will honor your simple obedience. That's patience. Then when you add godliness to your life, you're adding the actions, the thought patterns, the habits, the desires that match the way Jesus lived. Godliness. Jesus is our best example of what it means to be godly. So when I want to be godly, I try to live like Christ lived. I add His way of thinking, His way of talking, His way of relating to people. Last week we talked about brotherly kindness. I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I can't remember now with all the things. Several weeks ago, we talked about adding this thing called brotherly kindness. Not just kindness, but family kindness, brotherly kindness. And it means making sure that I love other Christians above my job, above my own needs, and that I make them part of my extended family. A lot of you, You couldn't find yourself in your heart the desire to spend time with another Christian, and shame on you. You'd rather spend time in front of the television or spend time at the job or spend time fishing, and shame on you, because God gave you, if you're born again, God gave you an extended family called Christians, and they're your brothers and sisters. And it's something where you just come to the realization they are family. They're not just people that I meet on a Sunday, amen? And you've got to add that. But there's one more step to take that we're going to talk about this morning. And this is where we're going to try to define the undefinable. And that's called charity. Now, when people think of charity, they get all messed up. Let me talk about, it's not just love. In the Bible, when the Bible talks about charity, it uses several words, because one word, charity, means a lot of words. One of the things, when the Bible uses the term loving kindness, you're getting close to the meaning of charity. Charity is a love expressed from the whole heart. Let me show you Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22 now. Matthew chapter 22, the lawyers came to Jesus and asked him what was the greatest of the commandments. Matthew 22. In verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Does he stop right there? Is that where the full stop is? Hello, anybody here? Is that where the full stop is? No, he doesn't just say love the Lord thy God. He says, let me talk to you about a kind of love that you need. And that is a love with all thy heart. Notice he starts with the heart. That if thou shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This is a thing that is beyond just normal love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And I doubt I've ever done that more than a few minutes at a time. The rest of the time, I know I love God, but very rare do I have all of my heart out on the table in adoration of Him. Amen? You understand that thing? We're talking about something that's beyond what we normally do. Another thing over there, 1 John, he talks about charity being perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear. You ever read that? Perfect love means self. Me is completely out of the way. I don't think of me at all. That's why charity, when we define charity, charity is living completely unselfishly. The greatest of these is charity. Now, it is the highest step a person can achieve. Go to Matthew 12 now. Matthew chapter 12. Isn't it funny how the world has changed the meaning of charity to what you give to and what you do? It's a charitable gift and so on and so forth. When charity is an attitude, it is an all-encompassing way of life. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33. Matthew 12 and verse 33. Am I in the right place? That is not the right place. All right. 12:33. Well, Jesus says when you have, when you love God and when you love your neighbor as yourself, it is better than all the sacrifices that a person can offer. All of the religious deeds. I don't know where. I have to... I don't know. I wish I had that verse. We'll go to the next one. Go to Psalm 63 and verse 3. Psalm 63 and verse 3. Psalm 63 and verse 3. Whatever charity is, it is more important than life itself. Look at Psalm 63 and verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Here, David says, the way you love me is better than anything I can ever do in this life. It is better than life. One more. Look at 1 Corinthians 13 now. Back to 1 Corinthians 13. And verse 1. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, what a gift, and understand all mysteries, Einstein would be envious, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Without charity, nothing is worth anything. That's why this thing is in a layer, a series of steps. You get to the place where you get to charity. You have found out that everything without this being the motive and being the result of my life, without this selfless type of living, everything I've done beforehand was worthless. You got to understand that. That rarely do any of us live this way, the right way. And that's why it's sort of left to last, so that if Peter said, add to your faith charity, we'd be wiped out right there. Because it's an insurmountable leap. Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, lays out each one of these steps and says, now you can get to the place where you can love selflessly. Another thought. Charity is the rarest form of love. It's like the rarest jewel. I did some research, and I didn't know this, but my wife would disagree, but they are in our home. Diamonds are not all that rare. I mean, the rarest gemstone in the world is called painite, and I think they named that because of the cost of it. It would be really a pain to pay for it. No, that's actually the guy who discovered it. There are less than 25 of these stones that exist in the world. It is the rarest gemstone there is in the world. It is worth the most of all precious gemstones. Diamonds, do you know how much they collect in diamonds? They collect 150 tons of diamonds. Well, let me see. Wait. No, 150 barrels. 150 bushel baskets, whatever that size is, every year. 10 metric tons of diamonds are collected out of the ground every year. 10 metric tons of them. So now, in my home, diamonds are very rare, but not in the world. There are loads of diamonds. All right? So next time you go to the jewelry, look at them and say, wait a minute, what are you charging me $2,000 for this for? But charity is rare. It's the rarest kind of love. If I can get this, there we are. Oop, no, what did I say? Let's go to Philippians chapter 2 now. Philippians chapter 2 to the right. You know, even though it's rare, it shouldn't stay that way. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let's look at a life here that is charity personified. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, he was equal, but made himself of how much reputation? Look at that word, no. No reputation at all. Who made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made, this is humiliating, in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he didn't stop there. He went on and he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Anybody want to give me, I'll give you one guess, why he humbled himself that far and went to the cross? But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're talking about love here. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore? God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. What's his name? At the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. What we're looking at is the only selfless lover in all of history. Now anybody else who had gotten to the place where they were dealing with self and conquering self never got to the place that Christ was. He's the only selfless lover. But he's a good example for us to try, amen? Everybody else is going to have an ulterior motive. But our Lord taught us how to love selflessly. Let me show you a comparison between our kind of love and the love of charity. Human love is given selectively to a few, and you may be able to expand that to even more and more, but you've never been able to get to the place where you can give generously to anybody and all. That's charity. Human love is given to those that we think are worthy. I'll do this because he's my friend. I'll do this because I know that person. I love them because they're safe to love. They won't hurt me. Charity is given to those who are not worthy. You think about that for an hour. Charity doesn't care. God so loved this world, and this world never loved him a day in its life. And yet God cherished us. Human love is given to those who give back. Amen? Isn't that true? We find it easy to love somebody who loves us back. We find it very hard to love somebody who does not want to be loved and does not want to love us back. And yet charity is given to those who cannot give back. That's charity. Human love is given only as long as it is appreciated. As soon as it is not appreciated, it's shut off. Amen? If you're going to talk that way, if that's how you want it, then I'll just go somewhere else. Charity is given even when it is not appreciated. Ouch. Human love is given our own strength. It comes from within only ourselves. Charity is given from God's strength. Human love is given out of what I don't need. Oh, somebody needs some clothes? Well, here, I haven't worn that in years. That's human love. Charity is given out of what I do need. You're hungry?
So am I.
But here, go ahead. Charity gives out of what you do need. Human love can turn to bitterness if it's rejected. Amen? Charity grows deeper when it is rejected. Who in this room has charity? You think about it. I don't fit in that category, that column very often. Amen? It's plain to see that we need this level of love in our life. Now, what does charity do? Let me just describe fake charity for a minute. Fake charity are things that are seen. It is a seen kind of love. It is an acted out love. It is a faked love. Fake charity is a feeling based love. When you give token gifts of money and goods to people in need, you're giving to charity, aren't you? But you're not giving out of charity if you're not giving it out of what was necessary for you to survive. Fake charity is when you give a bit of your time for a good cause. Fake charity is where you give up things you didn't need anyway, things that are easy to lose. None of that is charity at all. Fake charity is self-glorifying, easy to do, and it is pitiful to God. And it's even pitiful to those who are the recipient of your fake charity. Real love, real charity always costs and always involves a sacrifice. Now what does charity do? 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 8 and 1. What does charity do? And I'm going to just go through these things, and I want you to write these things down because these will be the tests. This is how you test if your love is charitable or not. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Remember, we're not dealing with giving to charity. We're talking about a love that gives, a kind of love that gives sacrificially, even gives to the point where you give what you need, what you can't live without, and yet you give it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now it's touching things offered unto idols. We know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but what does charity do, John? According to that verse. Somebody tell me. Edifieth. Who wants to describe edify? Talk to me now. What does edify mean, John? builds up. Tony? Marcus? It good, good. Edifies. It builds up. It improves. It blesses. It strengthens. It encourages. If somebody is being charitable to you, if somebody is loving you with a heart that cherishes you, they're interested in you doing better. They're interested in you performing better than you did before, in you succeeding, amen? That's what it means to edify. Do you ever meet many people like that? Who are interested in you succeeding instead of them? Charity edifies. What else does it do? Go to 1 John 3. It meets needs. 1 John chapter 3. If you want to replace the word charity, the new Bibles want to say love. You know, love suffers long and is kind. But it's not love at all. If you want to call it something, how about calling it God's love? Look at 1 John 3 and verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good, and see if his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion. We talk about it, a deep-seated feeling of love and compassion. If you hold that back from him that has a need, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Charity meets needs. Go to Matthew 25. Back to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 and verse 35. Jesus says, "For I was a-hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." You see, what is Jesus describing? He's describing, now there's doctrinal application. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. But in a practical sense, Jesus is talking about people caring about people selflessly. Where when somebody's sick, you go and you visit them. When somebody's hungry, you feed them. When somebody is going through a bad time, you pray for them. You go in and you encourage them. Charity doesn't think of yourself, doesn't think of your schedule. It thinks of the other person. Charity, it meets needs. Here's a rough one. You want one that is hard to do? Go to 1 Peter 4 now. 1 Peter chapter 4. After Hebrews comes 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse 8. Here's something charity does. It covers a multitude of sins. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins. You know what? If I love somebody, my love will run out if they cross me. If I just love you. Amen? And if I don't have this kind of relationship with the Lord that teaches me how to have a greater love than just human love, I'll be disappointed with all human in the world. I know plenty of women, let me just be real blunt. I know plenty of women who've given up on men. Because all the guys they've ever met have only hurt them. Amen? You know anybody like that? And you know what rule number one is? Don't put your trust in the love of people. And don't look to people, especially Hollywood, as how to love. God teaches you how to love somebody and to cover a multitude of sins. What is he talking about? You know what we normally want to do with somebody who hurts us? We want to bury them. We want to hurt them, and we want to just put them in our past and not deal with them anymore. And God doesn't say for you to face your problem by getting rid of them. God says take the offense and bury the offense and still love the offender. That's charity. Charity doesn't kill the person who wants to hurt you. Charity covers. Charity is one of these things like no matter what somebody throws at you, it just burns up. Fervent charity, your heart can't be swayed from being in love. Amen? It covers a multitude of sins and failures. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Back to the left. In verse 14. I said 13, 14. No, 13, 4. What else does charity do? It's kind while suffering. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. What's he talking about? He's talking about real life. You know, the Happily Ever After books are great for kids, but they're not real, are they? You know what you're going to have to do if you're going to have a good relationship? You're going to have to learn charity and be kind when somebody hurts you. And you're only going to be able to learn that from the author of charity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Charity. He does not say love is kind. Not any love I've ever had. We need a kind of love that responds in kind, kindness, loving kindness, when we're suffering. And lastly, go to Matthew 22. It fulfills the whole law. First, Matthew chapter 22. In verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything else takes second step to knowing and experiencing a complete heart expression of love to God. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. To the right, 1 Timothy chapter 1. If you get to the place where charity is active in your life, you'll find it easy to keep the law. Easier. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is what? 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned. Look at verse 6. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, empty words, desiring, to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. You know what people do who don't know how to love? They teach. And they get in front of people and they start incredible organizations. You know what people need today? They need to know that they're loved. I've looked into people's faces at Starsville Court. I have watched people who have been at the bottom of life. And you know what they need? They need a hug. Are you listening? It's not going to be real deep. It's not going to be theologically over your head. What every person in this room is struggling with is a heart problem. If you've got a problem in the home, if there's a problem in this church, if there's a problem in your life, it goes back to the heart. And it goes back to whether you know you're loved and whether you've ever loved anybody unconditionally or not. There is something that is liberating that just frees you when you just start loving people whether they ever love you back. Because that's the goal of that book right there. That was the goal of Jesus Christ. I'll be honest with you, I ought to be very ashamed. We have settled for a feeling kind of love. If I showed up pictures here of what you watched last night on television, I show up pictures here of what you find on page 3 in the newspaper you read throughout the week. If I showed you pictures up here of the things that you see on the billboards, the first word that has been associated with all of those pictures is love. Amen? And yet that's the furthest thing from love. So most people, they have this concept of love that is feeling-based. I get a great feeling when I'm around her. Oh, I just love such and such. It is based on your environment and your love switches on and switches off based on performance, based on how you feel for the day, based on what they've done towards you or what they haven't done towards you. We ought to be ashamed because we have not known the extent of the love of God. And many don't even seek to know it. That is the greatest thing in this universe, is to know the love of God. I mean, the songs, I don't know if you realize it. But you know, there are 600 hymns in there. You know what's amazing? All of them are about one person. Do you notice that? And you'll hear every one of them say, "Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?" Love. It's all about His love for me and me trying to love Him back. Amen? That's that book, the hymnal. And yet you're sitting there and you're not paying attention to the words, and I think we ought to be ashamed. Because the words are meant for the heart to get you in tune with the one who loved you unconditionally. You know, heaven's not going to be what you think it is unless you know the love of God. You'll be surprised at how big your heart could have been in this life. We want to know about all of the knowledge that we can get from God. What does knowledge do, Brother Dennis? It only puffs up, only makes your head swell. But charity, now that'll work. That'll build. We think love is an option. Well, I don't know if I can love Bill. I don't know if I can love Johan. Yeah, I know. I shot him more than once. That was all in Christian love, brother. But we think love is an option. Well, you know, Nico, I know what he said about me. I know what he says about me behind my back. I know what he thinks of me. And I think that, well, then I choose the option of not loving him. And you don't have that option. Not if you're saved. You say, but I know he'll hurt me again. Of course he will. Just like they crucified Christ. You think you're getting any better off? He loved him anyway. Amen? He loved him. You know what it says? He loved him to the end. How long will you stay in love with somebody? You know, you make a commitment up at the front. You say, till death do us part. You mean, till I kill her. We think love is an option. And that Bible says, this is the commandment, that you love one another. We need to repent of a heart problem. It's present in every one of us. I'm going to stop with this thought because we're going to pick up next week. We're going to look at an entire chapter in the Word of God to see what our love life ought to be like. What our life like ought to be like in marriage, in church, toward our enemies, on our neighbors, and towards God. I'm going to show you, it's too much today, but it's enough to get you thinking. Next week I'm going to show you how to add charity. You say, well, I'll just choose to love. You won't do it. You say, okay, now I'm just going to stay putting up with whatever Nico says about me. Nico, you said anything about me? I pick on Nico here for a minute. You'll run out of... You can't just choose to love. You have to add this thing. You put a house together, and you can put these roof trusses over the house, this frame on the house. You've got to particularly take shingles and place them up there one at a time in certain places, line them up, overlay them in order to make it so rain doesn't come through, in order to make it so the cold doesn't come through. You've got to insulate that thing. You've got to do things particularly if you want it to withstand the storms. Amen? And if you want your heart to be able to withstand the attacks of the devil, the fiery darts, the discouragement, the disappointments of humanity. You want that, you're going to have to carefully, particularly, put charity in place. It's not just a one-time thing. It is a diligent adding that is almost hourly. We'll talk about that next week. Right now, I need you to go to John 3:16 for me. John 3:16. Whether you've ever been able to love unconditionally is not the main concern at this moment. The fact is, God has unconditionally loved you. John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved, please put your name there. For God so loved Craig Ledbetter, that He gave His only begotten Son, that if Craig Ledbetter believeth in Him, he should not perish, but have now, not when I die, but now, everlasting life. Look at verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn Craig Ledbetter. Craig Ledbetter already was condemned. Amen? God didn't send Jesus in the world to go, ha ha, I know your sin. Ha ha, can't wait for you to go to hell. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't go to the woman at the well and go, oh man, I know what you've been into. He didn't go to Nicodemus and says, Nicodemus, you're a religious zealot. I know the sins of your life. He did not come to condemn. What did He do? He came to save. Amen? And He did it out of charity for somebody who didn't deserve it. The reason why more people don't get saved is because they think they don't deserve hell. And they think that they're pretty good, they do deserve heaven. And I got news for you. God so loved a world full of sinners. They don't deserve anything. And yet He loved us. And He'd like to give us everlasting life. And He gave it to me 26 years ago this month. Have you ever received the gift? Go to Romans chapter 5 now, please. To the right. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. One of my favorite verses. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Look at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for... Wow, what a phrase. Can you put your name in there? For Craig the Ungodly. Oh, I like Craig the Great. Craig... Man of Destiny. You know, that's what we want. But no, my real title is Craig the Ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. You ever hear of these bodyguards who protect important people, and that if somebody, you know, pulls out a gun and begins to shoot, and they'll come between the bullets and the one they're defending? Scarcely, rarely will you ever find somebody willing to die for a righteous man. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here's the good news. Bad news is you're in trouble with God. Bad news is nobody loves you. Nobody loves you. Not unconditionally. You've known people's loves, but you've watched it come and go. You know, the bad news is one of these days, if you do not have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will go off into eternity and you will be loveless forever. Here's the good news. God didn't want that. God loved you enough to take your place. God commended. You know what it means? He makes big His love toward us. He makes big deal of loving sinners, the ungodly like you and me. Christ died for us, for the ungodly. You ever thanked Him for it? You ever received that gift? It's called the gift of God. Can't earn it. Can't merit it. Can't beg God for it. All you have to do is accept it. Father, forgive them. You know what God says? I'm ready. Do they want it? Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we've arrived at the top of this series of steps, and we've realized this is a peak that is higher than we can do in our own flesh. As a matter of fact, every one of these steps have been beyond us, but we thought that by nature we could incorporate them to our lives pretty easy, but now we're at a place where we just don't normally naturally live. selflessly. We've been taught, we've been conditioned to think of ourselves. Now you want to change that. Lord, we're glad you love us and that it is an everlasting love. We're glad it is a perfect love. But you ask us to add it to our ability to love. And we're going to find it hard. We've already found it hard. That's no excuse. It is not an option. With all diligence, Lord, teach us to love. Teach us to cherish some things. Let all things be done out of charity. The greatest of all feelings, the greatest of all actions, the greatest of all attitudes is charity. Do we just leave that up at the top of the hill, or do we conquer it and make it part of our lives? It is the greatest jewel, the greatest treasure to possess. The ability to love without self at all begins where we receive the love that you have for us. Lord, in this group of people, I don't doubt there's at least one, two, maybe three who do not know the love of God, who have not the love of God dwelling in them, who have been religious, who have struggled and been defeated because in their heart of hearts it is empty. The love that they have is self-generated, not because of Jesus, fueling and burning bright in their hearts. Lord, for us to have fervent charity one to another, we're going to have to know the love of God ourselves. Don't let anybody in this room go away from here without being sobered to what we're not. And that we wouldn't settle on being what we are anymore. God, break our hearts right now. God, there are people in our lives that we've given up on. God, forgive us. There are people that we have turned our back on and we stopped loving. Forgive us. There are people that we don't know how to love anymore. Burden our hearts that we learn again. That we take this book of books and we sit down and we let you break our hearts. And understand how much you love us. And when we allow you to truly forgive every sin and every failure, we can truly begin to forgive others and love them unconditionally. So Lord, here's the time. Some people will go out of this place ho-hum. Some of these people will have been stirred but not changed. The ones who break, the ones who let their heart ache with pain for just a little while and realize we have failed in the most important area of our life, and that's in the area of our heart and our love. Those will be the ones who will be changed and will have such a different view on life and have a personality that is not their own anymore, but is Christ in them, the hope of glory. I pray everybody in this room wants to be that third group of people, wants to be changed in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's grab our hymnal, please.